welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. I sure wish that I had, that we were under better conditions here when it came to the Minnesota Vikings, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. Looked like we were going to kick some major butt. Things were going so well. Everything was moving nicely despite a turnover at the end zone. Thank you very much. That was just wonderful. But, 17-3, the Vikings are cruising. Everything's going to be okay. And then we give up 21 points in the fourth quarter. Finally add a touchdown of our own to kind of, get the lead back. And, give up the lead again. And then, then we end up losing in overtime, 27-24. Jake Browning 1, Nick Mullins nothing. Oh, I'm just thrilled, just tickled pink, and I'm sure a lot of you are as well. Just absolutely tickled pink. I mean, we fought hard, and we never win in Cincinnati anyway. We get bull crap. We should have won this game standing still, and we didn't. We didn't. All of a sudden, Declan Goff on vent line for Score North made a statement that, despite the fact of how much we love and appreciate Brian Flores, it seems like in crunch time they are, they can be sieve-like at times, and they certainly were today. It was disappointing. It was bleeping disappointing, the defense. The offense, on the other hand, there were unbelievably positive moments. And then there was just the mind-numbing, frustrating, Mickey frickin' gosh-darn son-of-a-biscuit, trying not to curse our head off, interceptions, poor execution, tush-push my ass. That was garbage. You're trying to make the same, you're trying to do the same play that Jalen Hurts can do. Okay, now it's not like, it's just because Jalen Hurts is an athlete, so automatic. No, Jalen Hurts is big. It's not even that he's an athlete, and he is, compared to Nick Mullins. Compared to Nick Mullins, he's LaDainian Tomlinson. But that's the whole point, though. He's larger, too. It's not only that him being Jalen Hurts is athletic. He's large. He's big. Nick Mullins isn't exactly, he's not exactly, Jalen Hurts. He's just not. Jalen Hurts is the best rushing quarterback pretty much ever already. He pretty much is, or at least he's on a Mount Rushmore of running quarterbacks and goal line smashes. He's not Dante Culpepper either, is Nick Mullins. Detroit just crushed Denver 42-17. Detroit's kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, aren't they? Like, when they beat people, they whoop them. And then when they lose, it's like, what the hell just happened? It's weird. They're kind of like the Cowboys. They are. And, that's the last playoff game they ever won, I do believe. Second round in 1991. They defeated the Dallas Cowboys, who were an emerging team. And little did we know. I don't even want to think about it. Dallas Cowboys winning 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Oh, vomit-inducing. What a horrible introduction to the NFL full-time fandom that was for me. I remember back then thinking, man, Detroit, that's a franchise. Sure they are. Well, if a fan just started watching football now, they'd be saying the same thing. That's a franchise. Especially with Barry Sanders, though, at the time. Do I have to talk about this stupid game? The offense was, finally doing something. Nick Mullins actually looked decent at times, and then the next moment he looked like dog dookie. And then these trick plays, they just never work. And then you have the running game. let's talk about the running game, shall we? So, the guy who fumbled and screwed us over and put us in this downward spiral. I mean, the Vikings could be tied with Detroit right now after Detroit wins. We would have been in first place, sole possession of first place, without some of these stupid, stupid mistakes and caught just the most ridiculous way to lose some of these games. And I know it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. And here's the thing about woulda, coulda, shoulda. That would be after going 1-4. Do you understand? Do you understand the significance of that? Do you understand 1-4, how putrid that is? The Vikings could have been 10-4. If not for, hang on to the gosh darn Mickey frickin' ball. Alexander Mattison. Josh Dobbs, don't throw 17 interceptions in 2 games or fumble 15 more times along the way. Yeah, we might have beaten Chicago. I mean, that was the most putrid, frickin' awful thing I've ever seen in my life. And then today, I just don't know. I don't know. Interceptions at the goal line. Interceptions at the goal line. That's great. That's freaking wonderful. That's beautiful. It's great. And then the big defensive play that just never came, other than sacks. I mean, there were some sacks on Jake Browning, but they weren't, you know, they didn't happen at the time that would have put the game on ice. That big defensive play that we're all sitting and waiting to happen never freaking happened. It just never happened. It just never happened. And then the jump ball to T. Higgins had us all cursing our heads off. Bleep you, bleep you. Yeah, that's pretty much what was happening. Oh, yeah. And now I'm starting to sound more like a rube than an actual objective podcast host. Let's get to the other point that I was trying to get to before I started going down a different rabbit hole. Alexander Mattison didn't play. Ankle. Possible high ankle sprain. At least I'm pretty sure that's what it is, right? Ty Chandler starts. Okay, let's see. I don't know. 23 carries. Okay, well, he got to be the main guy. 132 yards, 5.7 a carry, and a touchdown. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And I know Cincinnati's defense was in trouble, especially with the injury to important players along the way. Sorry, now I'm going, blah. Sorry, that's kind of about how I feel right now, though, in general. Important players getting hurt, obviously, for Cincinnati to defend the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, especially the defensive tackle. That was a big loss, huge loss. But, you know, then you elect to start getting cute and start to throw the ball some more when you could be, why are we trying to get cute at the goal line rather than, like, running the ball in? And the tush push with Nick Mullins, it makes about as much sense as, me trying to dunk right now, trying to win a dunk contest. You know, when I was younger, I could really jump, right? When I was, like, in my early 20s, late teens, I could jump. 44? And just a few pounds more, unfortunately. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's just the way it is. No, I'm not going to win a slam dunk contest. I can't even touch the rim anymore. That's laughable. Me even being able to touch the rim now without it hurting like hell. Just grab the net maybe and it would hurt just to do it. Yeah, I mean, that's about what that was. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? And you'll also notice, okay, obviously this is, like, I'm saying this now, but when you're listening, it's like you're noticing the show got released on Sunday, right? Kind of like a typical Purple Mafia, like if the Vikings played at noon. I am recording this segment in the evening on Saturday night. So obviously the game is still fresh on my mind. I'm still in the mood of frustration and anger and disbelief and this and that. It's like you calm down a little bit. I'm not going to drop F-bombs all over the place. But maybe the nerd will have something to say about the game. So it's like, put it this way. So let's get into the sound bites, okay? Let's have a little fun here. Well, it's not really fun, but let's poke fun at our situation. Other than Daniil Hunter getting 3 sacks, that was pretty damn good. I mean, that was awesome. He's, what, 6th all-time in Vikings history now with 100 sacks. He had 99 before. Tells you how good the defensive line has been for Minnesota. But, of course, when the nickname of your team was the Purple People Eaters, and then you also added John Randall, Henry Thomas, guys like that, Keith Millard over the years, Jared Bleeping Allen, you know, guys like that. Yeah, pretty crazy. In fact, 2 major players were passed today in Vikings history because they were here in a limited fashion. Daniil Hunter now has more career sacks with the Vikings than Jared Allen. And Mr. Justin Jefferson already has more catches than Stephon Diggs. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. And when I talked about TJ Hawkinson last week, I meant for the Vikings, like all-time record for a tight end catches in a season. So TJ Hawkinson is having an insane season in terms of catches. And it's crazy to think of the slow start he had. But it also does show he's kind of a nookie blankie for whoever it is. Kirk Cousins, Joshua Dobbs, Nick Mullins, and what's his name? Missed him in a kind of a gimme play, Jaren Hall, unfortunately, before the concussion. 91 catches. Yeah, that's number one for a tight end in Minnesota Vikings history. So trying to do a little addendum and errata here, because that was a mistake. Like, I get a little too excited about stuff, and then I'm not clear about it. Like, it's the most in history. What is he talking about? Not necessarily for a tight end. There's other tight ends besides TJ Hawkinson out there in NFL history, but it is crazy to think what kind of year he's having after an awful start to the season. Like, seriously, I was about to give him the disappointment of the year at one point this year. Do you realize that? Because he was. not anymore. Might be the off injuries to Justin Jefferson, but he did play today and was pretty good. So the sound bites. Everything's looking good. Things are going okay. We have a stupid turnover here and there and some ugly plays, some dumb decisions. But we're up 17-3. You know what I'm saying? We're up 17-3. Isn't that amazing? It's so cool. Oh, shut up. Go away. I knew that was going to happen. It always finds a way to happen. We're up 17-3. After the Greg Joseph field goal, Jordan Addison, great play. Obviously, making the big catch. This is in the third quarter, by the way. The Vikings led 7-3 at halftime. Nothing too exciting. But then you had the big 37-yard play. Catch and go. It was an awesome drive. PA called it a professional drive. 14-3 lead. And then Greg Joseph adds a 39-yarder. 17-3. The frustration was we didn't get in the end zone there. That would have really put the game on ice. 17-3, though. What are you going to say about that?
It's showtime!
And then, much later, you start hearing... you get the crazy T. Higgins catch. It was like a jump ball type of play. Mekhi Blackmon, that's one of my favorite players on the team already, even though he's just a rookie. He's one of my favorite players. Not in that play. He was just kind of like a mediocre shortstop watching a ball dribble up the... dribble past him. For a game-winning base hit in the World Series or something. Just a baseball game, like a playoff baseball game, an important baseball game one way or another. A game you need to win, put it that way. Like against the Yankees or something. Ugh. That's kind of what that was. Like, seriously, now the game's tied. We're going to go to extra innings. And, somebody like Aaron Judge is going to crank one into the third deck or something. And they're all going to be celebrating and we're going to be just staring at the TV. Wondering what just freaking happened here. That's pretty much what about happened. So by the time the game was tied up 24-24, heck, by the time it was 17-17, but 24-24 especially, you were pretty much talking like this.
This game is fucking horrible!
And especially the dumb decisions, and of course, again, the tush push. I don't know, once that happened, you just kind of knew. You just kind of knew. The tush push, this was in overtime. You just kind of knew. And then, of course, you knew. And then after the tush push and all that, this is what you were saying.
What were they thinking?
So we're probably going explicit again, mostly because of my sound bites more than me dropping F-bombs and such as sound bites. But it's pretty much how I feel. I'm telling you how I really feel. And you probably figured that out already. It's just, make the damn stops. That was the other thing, too. Just so many opportunities to make the big stop, and the play never came. It just never came. Oh, the big defensive play never came. It just made me sick. Stop him at the gosh darn goal line. Get the sack. Where's the interception? Where's the deflected pass? It just never came, man. It just never came. And this is after shutting out the Raiders, who, they kind of suck a little bit. But then they score 64 points against a team that, F this, bleep this, we quit. I don't even know what the hell to think. But the Chargers end up firing both the coach and GM after that one. Of course, Staley, it's interceptions at the goal line. It just make you want to cry. Trying to force a pass like Warren Moon years ago. But then the T. Higgins one, that was one of the cheapest, luckiest touchdowns I've ever seen. It was a good play. But I guess that's the Ruben me saying that. 4th and 6, now I'm seeing it happen. No, it wasn't that. That wasn't even close. Your mother might have had a better opportunity on that one. That wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Like, Garrett Bradbury, you stink. Absolutely stink. There was no push whatsoever. In fact, they pushed us. Oh, boy. And then that. See, I'm seeing the highlights on the TV right now. Got the NFL Network on in the background. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And of course, Evan McPherson, every kicker makes their kicks against us. Like, I swear, the last time you saw really a kicker kind of, lose a game against us and get the, give us the win was pretty much like what Kevin Butler of the Bears way, way back in 94 when the Vikings won by the skin of their teeth. And we ended up winning the division by the skin of our teeth in a lot of ways. And the Bears got their revenge in the more important game. Of course, they got whooped in the next round anyway, but still sucked getting crushed at home when we get all excited about Warren Moon being here and Terry Allen being back. He wasn't nearly as good as he was 2 years ago before the ACL, but still was still good. Stuff like that. You know, he still had Randall, and, you know, Randall was still pretty young. Henry Thomas. He had all those wonderful players. Number one offense in the league, almost. I don't know. I'm just getting sick thinking about it, and I'm seeing all these replays. It makes me sick. Make the play, man. Make the play, Mekhi. I don't know. Make the play, Mekhi. Make the play, Evans. I don't know. I just don't know. Do something. I don't know. It's like the little stick. I'm sorry. It's like I'm just kind of in stone silence seeing the replays and such. But it's like, yeah, when you watch the replays, you just get angrier. Jake Browning threw for 324 yards against us. Do you realize that? And only one, well, he got the one interception, but the big one that can kind of put the game away. Maybe Evans there. Just a simple knock the ball away. That would have been great, but it didn't happen. Jake Browning, the guy we were laughing at in preseason games. Preseason is like when a Jake Browning should be like really good, right? Like, oh, it's easy for him. You know, he's going up against backups. He's a legitimate NFL quarterback. He's at least a nice backup, right? Well, here he looked like a guy that, you know, shouldn't, you know, that probably shouldn't be quarterbacking a high school team. He was pathetic looking. Today he looked like, I don't know, he looked kind of like Joe Burrow a little bit. Kind of, not really, I'm just saying. He looked like a light version of him, I guess. I'm just throwing names out there. But might as well. He looked like Joe Burrow a little bit. Yeah, clutch, you know, clutch, accurate when he needed to be making the play. That's what he looked like. Yeah, it's like, is Joe Burrow back? I don't know. Looked like it against us. 324 yards. 324 yards. And Gardner Minshew's going all crazy. The Colts are so weird. AFC's pretty tight, isn't it? But Cincinnati deserves to make the playoffs. They look good. Cleveland, it's crazy. All three of those teams lost their quarterback. You realize that? The teams I'm looking at right now. Sorry, you can't see it. Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis, and they're all like possible playoff teams. It's like the year of the backup, isn't it? Why do I have a feeling one of these teams with a backup quarterback is going to win the Super Bowl? Or at very least go to the Super Bowl. And maybe, you know, and maybe get beat by, you know, the big boy, like San Francisco. Like San Francisco, I mean, that guy was a backup quarterback too, right? He was Mr. Irrelevant. That would be Brock Purdy. Now he looks like Mr. Ultra Irrelevant, like a first-round pick in the NFL draft. Jake Browning looked like a first-round pick in the NFL draft against us. Nick Mullins looked more like, you know, what he was. A backup quarterback who was a better college player. Yep, and that's the guy that got hurt. It's just sad to see, you know. They hate to see injuries to important players. They're carting him off. I don't know. I don't know if he had an Achilles or what. That might have been. Wish I could just see the guy. But it was definitely a sad moment. Sorry. I'm bouncing all over the place. But it's just, you know, it's games like this that leave you, you know, like, whatever. What more can you do anymore? Like, what can you do? Like, just, you know, you lose games like this, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs anymore. And I don't think, I mean, we might still make it just because the NFC is a little more wide open at the bottom part. But it's still insanely frustrating. What the heck? What am I looking at here? Sorry. It's a sad situation overall. It truly is. Yeah, Hendrickson, there was another play. That was the drive that was so exciting when the Vikings could have been... This would have been a huge conversation, which would have made us all feel so wonderful, was the play where the Vikings looked like they were going to be turning the ball over on downs. Or no, it was going to be a pick six, sorry. That would have had Cincinnati rolling, basically. Cincinnati would have had the lead, a 7-point lead. The Vikings probably would have been blown out after that. But Trey Hendrickson jumps off sides. And, yeah, no pick six for Cincinnati. It was kind of funny. And then all of a sudden the Vikings get a momentum play and go all the way for a touchdown to make it 24-17. But then after that, all the luck and magic and momentum that we just gained went right down the you-know-what, and it was insanely depressing. Reader is who I think, yeah, that's who it was. That's who got hurt, Reader. They're just calling him questionable, so that's lucky. He was carted off, but I suppose when you're as big as that guy, 335. Yep. So, yep. He's the run stuffer. He's number 98, like a Jerry Ball, like a Pat Williams, those kind of guys. So, I mean, that's his role. He's a nose tackle. I thought they were talking like it was a possible Achilles quadricep injury. Ah, okay. That's what it was. So quadricep, potentially serious. Yeah, that's what I kind of think may have been an injury to, wrong sport, but Kirill Kaprizov of the Minnesota Wild. That's what I think it might have been. So a lot of people thought it was like a groin, but it's probably a quad because they were saying it was more of a leg thing. And a quadricep thing, especially like I can imagine skating, you're not going to have a burst. And obviously a defensive tackle, like what are you doing? Pushing guys? And they could probably leg press like 800 pounds or more, like a guy like Reeder. So, but then you get an injury there. Oof. Yeah, you ain't going to be leg pressing for a long time, you know, unless it's not hurt that bad. Yeah, so that was a huge loss for Cincinnati. And so when the Vikings used Ty Chandler, we got somewhere. And then we didn't use Ty Chandler. It just wasn't as good. And it was kind of like those games in the past when people were pissed off at Dennis Green against the Jets. Like, that's the other AFC team that we never win on the road, ever. We had, like, one win ever on the road. It was a few years back because they were just so putrid. When we finally beat the Jets on the road, it was years ago. Like, I'm saying, like, back in the day, not just the most recent one, but many years, but, well, like, 5 years ago. And then Cincinnati, we only have one win in Cincinnati since Rich, way back when I started watching football full-time with Rich Gannon throwing four touchdowns. It was like a great game. I guess a pretty lousy Cincinnati team that had gotten to the divisional round the year before. The Buffalo Bills, you know, along the way. I can't remember who they played in the AFC title game that year, but it doesn't really matter at this moment. 92 team, obviously, that was against Miami. And that's the farthest Miami's been in since 92. But Ty Chandler, yeah, I mean, utilize the son of a gun. I mean, clearly, all freaking season, Ty Chandler, give Ty Chandler, let Ty Chandler do something. Give the ball to Ty Chandler. And for a while there, it was Cam Akers. And then he has a freaking Achilles just like Cousins. And then Ty Chandler, he's got the burst. Stop burying him on the lineup. Stop burying him behind freaking Alexander Mattison. He's better than Alexander Mattison. He's better than Alexander Mattison. It's one thing if he's the king of fumbleitis like Josh Dobbs was. But I don't know. I mean, none of these backup quarterbacks that we have are going to save the day. Even though Mullins did throw for 303 yards, he's just too damn erratic. That's the freaking problem. The interceptions and how depressing they were. But Ty Chandler, the 132 yards, could have been closer to 200 if we utilized him more properly. He could have had a Terrell Davis type of game. Even though he's a completely different player, he's more of a burst guy than kind of a bust up the middle like Terrell Davis was. It was like power and explosiveness a bit when he came to Terrell Davis. That's why he was a 2,000-yard talent. I don't see Ty Chandler as a 2,000-yard talent, but he might be a 1,500-yard guy. 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. He might be that kind of a guy, like 12 touchdowns. He might be that good. He was really good with North Carolina. If he's anything like that. But obviously, the Cincinnati run defense wasn't that good. And the Vikings, you know, obviously you had Ty Chandler play as well as he did. But it's just the sad truth. Vikings could have had a much better day if they utilized Ty Chandler's abilities better rather than forcing plays. It's like Mullins on paper, when you just look at the two interceptions, it's like you think, you know, he wasn't that bad. Why are you so mad? But watch the game, you know. You saw the game or watched the game, and then you'll know how frustrating it was. It wasn't as good as it may have looked on paper. Because 26-33, that's pretty accurate, but didn't feel that way. It really didn't. He actually, you know, Nick Mullins actually had a higher quarterback rating than... that's the thing. It's funny. Like, the old-fashioned quarterback rating, kind of like tornadoes with the F5 versus the EF5, there's a difference. F5 is just the overall power of the tornado, where EF5 is like the damage. So, yeah. Anyhow. See, like, it's kind of like that with the QBR versus the old-fashioned quarterback rating. Nick Mullins had a higher quarterback rating, 99.9. Jake Browning, 97.7. That's not much of a difference. QBR, though, you ready? Nick Mullins, 42.3. Jake Browning, 57.1. So, I mean, again, that's like rating the damage in a lot of ways. It's kind of similar to an EF5 versus an F5 tornado. So, yeah, tornadoes are always on my... I mean, I'm always watching, like, Pico's Hank. He's on YouTube. Like, he's, like, the king of tornadoes on YouTube. He's the best ever from Texas, Houston, Texas. And he talked about that off and on. So I end up watching that kind of stuff. So, sorry, I'm kind of a weather nut, weather nerd. Joey's weathers my photos. Sorry, yeah, that's actually me, if you've ever heard of it. Sorry, I had to do that. But the finish in today's game, frustrating beyond human belief. Like, the fact we even had to go to overtime, and it was kind of similar to the insane frustrations 2 years ago at the beginning of the season. So it's like 2.5 years ago, when the Vikings lost to this guy coming back from an ACL injury in his rookie year. This guy named Joe Burrow, obviously a blue-chip talent, but he was just coming back from ACL surgery, you know, an ACL injury. You know, football players actually return the next year, unlike the NBA. They actually return right away. And little did we know, losing to this Cincinnati team that was pretty crappy the year before, you know, they're not ready for anything. Okay, they have this quarterback, but we'll see. And they went on and won the AFC. So he ended up feeling a little better after that. But still, the frustrating way that Viking team lost when we were in position to win it, Dalvin Cook fumbling the bleeping ball, and this one was like 15 different things that happened, kind of like, you know, a lot of other Viking games where you're just left like sleepless, especially if it's a huge playoff game. Like one bleeping play knocked the ball away, that big interception that never came, that big sack at the end that would have put the game away. Nope, it just didn't happen. There's always magically, Browning has got enough space to get rid of the ball, and the ball's caught for a first down again. And then the offense doesn't get the first down that we need. It's just, so that's kind of how it all sums up. The Fran Tarkington Award winner for today is Ty Chandler with a bullet. But I mean, Daniil Hunter is also going to be, he's either going to share it or be like an honorable mention. I mean, three sacks. How can you, you know, so sacks did happen, but it's like at the end of the game, though, that's the heartbreaking part. So I have to go on the offensive side of the ball this time, not because I was so impressed with how great the offense was, but because it was the guy that didn't get the ball when he should have in multiple cases where he could have been utilized better. Ty Chandler is the Fran Tarkington Award winner. Not only does he deserve the award, but it's also a big middle finger to the play calling, and that would be a certain coach and, you know, right now with the play calling. I'm sorry. I love Kevin O'Connell, but I don't know. It's disappointing. So the Christian Ponder Memorial, popcorn maker, whatever you want to call him, Nick Mullins, I mean, the interceptions were terrible. And then Kevin O'Connell can kind of share it in a way as well. Disappointing. And I don't know, as great as Brian Flores is and how great as he was and all that such, still insanely frustrating that the sieve just happened. I mean, Mekhi Blackman not being in the right place here. It's not really his fault, but he could have been more helpful rather than just kind of being a spectator on that game-tying play. Other honorable mentions. I mean, there were multiple honorable mentions in today's game that could have gotten a Tarkington. Jordan Addison, I thought he had it. 111 yards and two touchdowns. I didn't even mention a guy with 111 yards and two touchdowns, which is, you know, these are all rookie highs pretty much, except for like Randy Moss. Outside of Randy Moss, he's pretty much as good of a rookie as we've ever had. So, because, I mean, what did Randy Moss have? Like 15 touchdowns. So it's pretty sick. 62 catches, 824 yards, 9 touchdowns. I feel pretty proud about both of the guys that I mentioned as first-round picks. You can tell I'm smiling right now by just looking at the guy's face and seeing his name, and that I mentioned him on the draft preview, that that's who I wanted. And I don't know, I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong, but then once in a blue moon, you know, not only do I pick the right player that they took, but he ends up being an outstanding player. And the other one was Justin Jefferson. If you want to listen back, that's who I wanted out of LSU in 2000. I was like, that guy, you know, to think he's going to slip to 24, I guess. But shoot, if he slips to 24, I mean, you have to take him, right? But it's like that year there were so many other wide receivers that other teams liked, like Jalen Reagor and such, who got targeted once last week, I believe it was, for the Patriots. How exciting. One target for the Patriots. who are not good anymore at all, versus Justin Jefferson. I mean, what more can you say? Outside of the stupid injuries this year, he's as good a receiver as there is in the world. And then, you know, also like his former teammate Ja'Marr Chase, who had some big plays in today's game as well. Also got hit in the chest. What do you think of that? That's pretty darn weird. But I'm sure he'll be okay. I like Cincinnati. I'm happy to see them win games, but not against us. Just put it that way. I like Cincinnati. I do. I like Cincinnati a lot. They might be my favorite AFC team right now because, well, I can't really root for the Patriots right now. They're not going to make the postseason, unfortunately. I still love the Patriots, yes, from just being a Boston sports fan. But they're not going to be in the postseason. So if I want to root for anybody in the AFC, it's probably the Bengals, even though it's, I don't know. If Jake Browning takes the Bengals to the Super Bowl, oh, boy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe aliens already invaded this country and this world. I don't know. I just don't understand. It's pretty weird. But, okay, points all have been made. This has been a very long, energetic, crazy, passionate first segment. Very raw. Sometimes I'm subdued. This time I'm not. And that's all I got to say about that. So, okay, with that, I'm going to take a chill pill. We're going to come back and look at all the other games across the league, and we're going to preview the Detroit Lions, who, which one of them is going to show up? I don't know. Are the Vikings going to, like, lose every game the rest of the year? I don't know. It's possible, but probably not. I just don't know what to tell you. It's Detroit sure kicked Denver's butt, didn't they? But yeah, it's the upcoming game. Detroit, Indianapolis crushing Pittsburgh, and that's it right now. Oh, and the Las Vegas Raiders massacring the Chargers 63-21 on Thursday Night Football. So all that's coming up in segment number two. Let's get ready to rock and roll. And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. Time to look around the league and, of course, our preview with Detroit coming up. So that's always a fun thing. The Detroit Lions, who had a pretty impressive game yesterday, but you know how they're kind of up and down this year. So, yeah. Of course, we'll get back to that shortly. A nooner on Christmas Eve versus the Detroit Lions. So, of course, the Vikings lost to the Bengals 27-24. But before that, the Las Vegas Raiders went all in. Yeah, they went all in all right. And the Chargers, they didn't fold. They just lost and got crushed and whooped and all that. Baltimore and Jacksonville flashing on the screen right now. It's a low-scoring 3-0 game. The kicker just missed for Jacksonville. A doink type of deal. Jacksonville was, I believe they were 8-2 just recently. So they've certainly been dropping games. They're down to 8-5. And now they're playing Baltimore. Good luck with that. And a doink on a kick here to try to tie the game. So that kind of sucks for them at the moment. The Raiders, though, 63-21, and the end of... You just knew that the coach and the coach is gone, and probably the GM should be. And, yeah, the GM's gone as well. So we'll see what happens. Justin Herbert, who's going to take over to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers? We'll have to wait and see. But an impressive performance by an Oakland Raiders... I keep calling them Oakland. Las Vegas Raiders team that was shut out by the Minnesota Vikings defense. What a difference a week can make. Minnesota Vikings defense was a virtual sieve, and a lot of people are pissed off. Like there's a legitimate rip here on the Vikings defense. Like, what was that? That was disappointing. Like everywhere locally, so I'm still kind of pissed about that. Aiden O'Connell went from a guy who looked like he might as well have taken a seat and let Kevin O'Connell suit up for them. Yeah, pretty much. He ends up throwing 4 touchdowns he's only sacked once. I'm looking at it backwards here. Backwards, Joey, backwards. 4 touchdowns, no INTs, Mahomes-like numbers, I guess you could say. 120 yards. No, 120 quarterback rating. What am I talking about? And then Jacoby Myers also threw a touchdown pass, so good for him. I keep calling him Oakland. I'll never get it right. Las Vegas Raiders. Devontae Adams, 101 yards and a touchdown. Trey Tucker, 2 touchdowns on 59 yards and all that cute stuff. Jacoby Myers threw one and caught one in the game. So Justin Herbert didn't play in the game, but his replacement was pretty good, which is funny because, well, somebody had to do something out there. His numbers were good, but they were down by like 100, so it's like they need to do something, I guess. What were they down by? 42 to nothing? So, 42 to nothing at halftime. Easton Stick finally got his the stick out of the mud, I guess you can say, and ended up throwing 3 touchdowns, but all kind of in like a garbage time mode, making a cute comeback, kind of like Doug Peterson did against the Vikings when the Vikings were blowing the Packers out in the famous too much moss in the end zone type of game, you know, where it was like a hazy night or a misty night in Lambeau, basically. So anyhow, the Raiders crushed the Chargers, and the Chargers are going to have a new coach and general manager, that type of deal. We'll get off of that and keep rolling forward. The other game, the other one, Detroit obviously is the other one. That's the last game we're going to talk about. The Colts win comfortably over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I did kind of hint at that when I recorded segment number one several hours ago, we'll say. Yep. 30-13, a very comfortable win by the Indianapolis Colts, and Gardner Minshew pretty happy with himself. About time. His former team is playing right now. Gosh, who's he been on? He was on the Jaguars. He was on the Eagles for a minute. And now he's on the Colts. And, of course, Richardson's out for the year, that type of thing. Mitch Trubisky's playing. I mean, it's backupville everywhere. I'm surprised you're not seeing Baltimore's backup out there right now. I'm trying to remember who that is. Wasn't he a former Packer coach or something? Or quarterback, sorry. Jacksonville, yep, well. So at least you're seeing starters in this game, but it's 3-0. It's not pretty. Minshew with 3 touchdown passes. Trubisky was about what he was with the Bears. 1 TD and 2 INTs. Mason Rudolph, almost forgot about that guy. 3 yards. 3. So we'll move off of that quickly. Nothing really exciting, really, you want to get into, other than, the Colts had a couple of good performances defensively. It's a different guy. But, yeah, I'm thinking about a former Viking player. It's not. Patrick Peterson, yep, obviously he's on the Steelers. T.J. Watt with 2 sacks. He's a stud, obviously. And, yes, relation to J.J., of course. But we'll move off of that. Comfortable win by Indianapolis over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe that was those are big playoff games back in the day. In the mid-2000s, of course, when the Colts finally won a Super Bowl and the Steelers had won ended up winning 2 of them over the span of about 4 years, I believe. Yeah, I didn't enjoy that very much, but good for Mike Tomlin at the very least. Oh, we got the water flowing again. That's the Timberwolves show. A couple of days ago, Chiefs win over the Patriots. And apparently somebody was real unhappy about non-pass interference called against someone else. You can just name the names. I don't want to say their names anymore. I'm sick of them. Sick of both of them. They both are irritating. One of them is a terrible singer who everybody thinks is a goddess. He's got the greatest talent of all time. Yeah, okay, sure. Uh-huh. Greatest talent of all time. Yep, and then the tight end. Everybody thinks he's the coolest thing in the world. And okay, now I'm getting into it too much. I'm being an idiot right now, and I apologize. Jerick McKinnon threw a touchdown pass for the Kansas City Chiefs because Mahomes kind of stunk again, which I'm not really feeling bad about it. And they both acted like complete morons. They're kind of like, the Golden State Warriors acted like complete morons against the Timberwolves twice. Complete idiots. And their behavior is just getting ridiculous now, and they're losing games, and nobody feels sorry for them. The Golden State Warriors can get stuffed, as they might say in Australia. They can get stuffed. And you know what the Kansas City Chiefs can do? They can get stuffed, too. Unfortunately, they didn't lose this one because the Patriots are putrid. It's sad because, doggone it, I'm a Boston sports fan. I've told you this a billion times. You're sick of hearing it. Yeah, well, they didn't. They're just not good, unfortunately. And the Chiefs, hopefully they are going to be knocked out in the first or second round this year. And I mean buried by a Baltimore, by a Buffalo, who looks way, 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 way better. Last week they were bitching and moaning. Were the Chiefs? Buffalo looks way better. They've definitely came out of the doldrums there. They looked like they were about to fall off the face of the earth. Now they look damn good. So good for them. But the Chiefs won, and they're 9-5. And I don't want to talk about them anymore. Congratulations, Jerick McKinnon, on the touchdown. Good job. And Bailey Zapp, not so great. I don't know, not as good as last week, I guess. He had a pretty good game last week, from what I remember correctly, like 3 touchdowns and no INTs. We have a shutout, folks. We have another shutout. think this was a playoff game sometime in the distant past. Ugh. I'll never learn. I'm an idiot. But that's okay. We're all imperfect. Trevor Siemian played for the New York Jets and threw two interceptions. Tua. It was a 30-0 victory, by the way, by the Miami Dolphins, if I really didn't even mention the score. Yeah. Only one touchdown pass. Interesting. Mike White played a little bit. I remember he played against the Vikings last year. Got hurt, if I remember correctly. And then Teddy came in and was just, not last year, but years ago now. Or was that last year? I think that was last year. Yeah, Teddy looked like he was 90 years old. And I did tweet out, and I'll say it now as well, Teddy Bridgewater is going to retire. Teddy Bridgewater has announced he's retiring at the end of the year. He is on the Detroit Lions. So I guess I could talk about that later and talk about it now. But Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I really, really liked what Teddy Bridgewater did when he was with the Minnesota Vikings, particularly before the injury, the poor guy. But obviously, it was just one of the saddest things ever, you know, when you consider what happened. He was just coming into his own. You know, he had one really good year, the first year as a starter. I mean, it wasn't great. It was, you know, but you could tell they were going to open things up a bit. Mr. Turner was being very conservative with him in his first year as a starter, him being Teddy. But down the line, I mean, he got better and better. You could just see they were going to open things up. He looked extremely promising in the preseason that year. You could just see. You know how you could tell sometimes when you think, who cares, it's preseason. But sometimes there's those indicators when you can tell something's up. Like something, there's a definite change. There's a definite improvement. Just like you could see Randy Moss was going to be an absolute superstar, the way he was adjusting to the ball and making spectacular catches in those preseason games way back in 98. But Teddy, you could tell he was taking a giant step forward in 2016. And then while doing some kind of, you know, those I don't know if it's like those side-stepping kind of like workouts, I believe. Maybe like kind of like stepping over tires or something, you know, something like that. And his knee just gives. And it gave like no knee ever has, basically. Maybe not quite, but I didn't get to see it. But the way it was described was gruesome, like absolutely gruesome. I'm imagining like a U-shape, basically. Like, yeah, like a U-shape, let's just say, you know. Just really scary. Like, not natural at all. Really scary, awful. Being held together by a thread, literally. Like, nothing left. And it was an emergency type of situation where he could have had the leg amputated. So, him being Teddy Bridgewater. So, again, it's just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And then he came back, was very promising with the Saints. And then years later with Miami, it looked like he'd aged about 10 years. Looked like he was about 39 last year. It's like, oh man, what the heck happened? So it's a shame. It's a doggone crying shame to see Teddy retire at 31. But it is what it is, you know. So yep, that triggered my thoughts thinking about the Miami Dolphins against Teddy or Vikings against Teddy. Believe it or not, and again, he looked like he was, you know, 39 years older or older. But Miami wins comfortably over the Jets. 6 sacks on the Jets quarterbacks, Trevor Siemian being one of them, of course. Former, he was the original Kirk Cousins backup, if I remember correctly. So he was at least a halfway decent quarterback for a minute or two. But generally speaking, not somebody who necessarily wants starting a football game. And he looked awful against Miami today. You know, it is what it is. There's just backups everywhere. So, but the Dolphins went comfortably. They're 10-4. They're very much on their way to the postseason, but probably not looking at home field or anything crazy. But I suppose crazier things have happened. We have the Oiler Bowl, folks, and that went to overtime. The Oiler Bowl. Why is it the Oiler Bowl? Because the Houston Texans were playing the Tennessee Titans. And I got to see Houston Oiler highlights today with Warren Moon throwing the ball, and it was amazing stuff. He was more mobile when he was with Houston, wasn't he, when he was younger? Because, you know, we saw him when he was like 40 here in Minnesota. So he was 40 years old, for Pete's sake. So, I mean, you're not expecting too much mobility, just like with Favre. Favre was a fairly mobile quarterback with Green Bay back in the day. But just watching the Houston Oilers, it's like, doggone it. Why can't the Texans be the Oilers? And, I don't know, Tennessee, yeah. Why can't they just recreate the Houston Oilers and get rid of this whole Texans thing? It's a cool logo, but the name sucks. The Houston Texans. It's dumb. I'm sorry. Titans is fine. It's a cool enough name, and the color scheme is kind of similar to the Houston Oilers. But I want the Houston Oilers logo and name back. Doggone it. Texans, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't do anything for me. But they did win over the Tennessee Titans, the team that was the Oilers. It is the Oiler Bowl. The Houston Texans win the Oiler Bowl. They get the, I don't know, it's not really revenge or anything, but Tennessee drops to 5-9, 4-3 at home, sorry. Houston jumps to 3-4 on the road and 8-6 overall. So they are looking at the postseason, and a guy who played for Houston in college and is from Houston and all that cool stuff, a guy named Case Keenum was the quarterback of the Houston Texans today in their victory, believe it or not. One touchdown, one interception, 229 yards. Will Levis, who seemed like yesterday he was throwing four touchdowns, looks a lot like last year's miracle draft pick that dropped down a few rounds and wound up with the Houston Texans. And yes, and it really was the Oiler Bowl. The Tennessee Titans were wearing Houston Oilers uniforms. So that's the best part. Unfortunately, the Oilers did not win the Oiler Bowl. The Texans did. So it's kind of funny how all that turns out. That is really cool. Yet, in a way, it's kind of funky and weird. But I suppose it'd be like if the Dallas Stars wore North Star jerseys. But looks like the Wild miraculously are able to do that instead of the Dallas Stars doing it, which is kind of cool. So I'm glad of course, it still had the Wild logo, though. It didn't have the North Star logo. So I guess the North Star logo still isn't ours. For some reason, the Stars want to hang on to it. I don't know. But Houston won the game. The new Houston won the game. Jonathan Greenard with 2.5 sacks. Malik Collins with 1.5 for the Houston Texans. DeNico Autry with 2 sacks for the Tennessee Oilers. Yes, which they actually were for a little bit. So they did get to be the Tennessee Oilers for a little while before they changed the name to the Titans. So, okay. Anyhow, division game can't be talked about yet. Let's keep this going. I'm getting a blank screen. Okay. So, yep, Jaguars 3. No, Ravens 3-0 over the Jags. Yep, that's another division game. That's a division game. Giants and Saints, that's a barn burner. Not really. The New York smaller people, I don't know. They dropped to 5-9 because they'd won a few games in a row, in fact, including beating Green Bay last week, which made a lot of us feel a heck of a lot better on Monday Night Football. So when it looked like Green Bay is going to overcome the Vikings in just the craziest fashion ever, where Vikings look putrid, we make a comeback, we look like we're going, Green Bay's putrid as all get out, and they start making a comeback and might overcome us because Jordan loves remembering how to play a little bit. Well, he's learning how to play. And no, New York was able to overcome them. But this week, not quite the same for Tommy DeVito and co. Sacked a million times again. 7 this week. Jeez. Only 1 sack for Derek Carr, who looked awfully good. 3 touchdowns and no INTs. One of his best games of the season, if not his career. He was downright outstanding. 24-6, comfortable win by the Saints over the New York Giants. Oh, my God. Kapaskanung with 3 sacks in the game, 2 sacks for Brian Breeze, so good for him, and only 1 single sack by Jason Pinnock of the New York Giants. In the past, you'd think it's the opposite, but the Saints have a defensive coordinator in Mr. Allen there as a head coach, so I think I'm actually quite impressed with the Saints' defense with Allen as the head coach. So, in the past, you'd see the Giants as this defensive team. You always think of the Giants being a great defense. Pass rushing, kicking people's butts in both Super Bowl eras for the New York Giants. Back in the 80s, you know, 80s/early 90s, you know, the Nintendo era. Yeah. And then the 2000s. Not as good of an era, but a really nice Giants team that overcame the Patriots twice with that great pass rush. So, whatever. Usually think the Saints are the ones giving with a mediocre to below average defense, but now the Saints have the good pass rush. Impressive. Impressive by Allen there, coach of the Saints. And now we wait. Right? The Vikings did beat the Saints in semi-impressive fashion, but then it almost blew a lead again, just like last time with the Minneapolis Miracle. The Panthers won their second game of the year today. Wow. 9-7 over the Falcons. What a barn burner. What a great football game. Not. But they did win. The Falcons kind of, I don't know, didn't play well. That's about all you can say about that. Bryce Young didn't throw a single touchdown pass, but he did have 167 yards passing. Desmond Ridder, mediocre to below average. He can't win on the road, and he can't even win in North Carolina because they, you know, he's not good on the road. Amir Smith Marset, nice little, well, decent, I guess. He ran for 31 yards. Interesting. Again, he also had two catches for a single yard. Okay, so that must have been a negative play there, big time. He did have a fumble, but he recovered it. Good for him. There was zero fumbles lost, but three times Carolina fumbled twice, and they recovered one also as well, interestingly enough. Fumble recovery, interestingly enough. But let's get off of that. How much can you talk about a 9-7 game between the Falcons, who aren't going anywhere, and the Carolina Panthers, who are, you know, going to be atop the draft? They're not exciting anybody at the moment. There's probably got 19 more games to go, right? The Rams over the Commanders. Ugh. Well, the Rams are actually back in contention, so maybe I shouldn't yawn too much at them. You'd think it would be the opposite record. But Washington looked semi, you know, respectable for a little while. Now, not so much. And the Rams have definitely gotten back in contention. They have the same record as us. So we can't get too haughty when talking about the Rams anymore. Matthew Stafford also did not throw an interception, similar to Derek Carr, a little bit less than Derek Carr, but still good enough. Jacoby Brissett also was very respectable. He had a perfect quarterback rating. So, I mean, I can't really trash him at all. Two touchdowns. He completed 8 of 10 passes. Sam Howell was not good. Brissett was very good. He's leading Washington to a potential fourth quarter comeback that came up short. Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Rams win and are victorious. Kyren Williams with 152 yards, 5.6 a carry, a touchdown. Cooper Kupp, one of the MVPs of football, 8 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Good for him. But also Terry McLaurin, let's not forget about that one over there with the Washington Commanders, who might be the Redskins again. We'll see. 6 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Curtis Samuel on only 41 yards with 5 catches, 2 touchdowns. So that's one of those nice little fantasy gems that some of you might be excited about if you happen to be lucky enough to have the other Samuel, Curtis Samuel, in the lineup. Not so much with Sam Howell, but Jacoby Brissett, the former multiple team guy. I don't know. He's been all over the place. I'm blanking now. Wasn't he with the Colts recently, right? Very good performance, though, with the Commanders today. 49ers crushed the Cardinals. Big surprise. Kind of like the Vikings over the Rams in 2009. Like, huge surprise, right? 45-29. I'm surprised they gave up 29 points. They kind of let Arizona screw around and score 16 points in the second half, I guess. So, I don't know. Are they bored or what? But don't look now. But remember that weird three-game losing streak San Francisco had? They haven't lost since. They're 11-3. 11-3. An outstanding record. The 49ers are the best team in the world, I think, and I'm not going to be too disappointed if they go on and win their 6th Super Bowl this year. Not at all. It'd be nice to see them get past Dallas, because I don't think Dallas is winning any 6th Super Bowl anytime soon, hopefully ever. Be honest. When San Francisco and Dallas were constantly meeting up in the postseason, you were cheering for San Francisco, right? And I know most people will be like, they're not the Vikings. I'm not cheering for anybody except the Vikings. Yeah, but don't you kind of like wish one team would win over the other in the playoffs sometimes? You were going with San Francisco, right? I mean, there's no way you were going to pick Dallas, right? Brock Purdy, another 4 touchdown performance. Sam Darnold got some time in there as well because it became garbage time. Kyler Murray with his usual multi-interceptions. Nothing to brag about there at all. 115 yards rushing for McCaffrey and 72 yards receiving for McCaffrey. 3 total touchdowns. Almost 200 all-purpose yards, so that gets him to, looks like 197, yeah. 197 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey is like a first-round pick, if not a first overall pick in fantasy football. Not that I played anymore, but Brock Purdy, definitely a Purdy choice in the top 2 rounds, I would think. But far cry from being any Mr. Irrelevant, because he might, and he is not along for the ride. Yes, he has weapons. He has weapons. But put it this way. Nick Mullins or Brock Purdy? Just put that in perspective for 5 seconds. Do the Vikings have really nice weapons on offense? Absolutely. And did they help Nick Mullins' numbers improve a little bit? Yes. But let's put it in let's just analyze it for 3 seconds. Brock Purdy, Nick Mullins. That's all you need to know. He's not Mr. Irrelevant. He's not just along for the ride. Because a quarterback that's along for the ride is going to have some awful moments and probably get your team killed on occasion. Buffalo Bills getting some revenge on the old Super Bowls. Well, not really, but they get to 8-6. Drop the Cowboys to 10-4. No home field advantage for you, Dallas. Step aside, Dallas Cowboys. You're not going to be at home. Nope. They're actually 3-4 on the road. All their losses have been on the road, which would make them 7-0 at home. Dak Prescott didn't throw a single touchdown. The Buffalo Bills' defense was stifling, and good for them. But Dallas' defense is stifling as well, at least on Josh Allen's side. Both quarterbacks were pretty miserable, but at least Allen had a touchdown where Dak Prescott had an interception. There was just one number there. One touchdown for Josh and one interception for Dak. 94 yards passing. 94 yards. But his QBR was sky high compared to Dak Prescott, who was 38.4. Josh Allen, 53.8. James Cook was cooking big time. And his long of the day was only 24, right? 179 total yards, 7.2 a carry. That's all you need to know. They penetrated that Dallas defense on the ground much more so than in the air. Sorry, Stephon Diggs, you can keep getting pissed off, but you know, at least you're winning games. You know, you're back into respectability. Again, a couple of impressive games in a row here. You beat the Chiefs and now the Dallas Cowboys? That's pretty good. So, nothing really to complain about there. Congratulations, Buffalo, on re-entering a possible playoff run here. Maybe. Someone has to lose tonight. Baltimore wins, though. They'll be just like San Francisco. We just might get a rematch of the Harbaugh Bowl with only one Harbaugh remaining because, you know, because Jim Harbaugh is, you know, in Michigan and all that weird investigation stuff, but I don't really get into college football that much. Only during the draft, maybe. And that's about it. I'm not a college football fan. So, anyhow, Monday, the Seahawks and the Eagles. Eagles are still are going to definitely still be battling with San Francisco for home field advantage. But who's got the tiebreaker? That's right, San Francisco. That's right. It's too bad they lost those 3 games, but shoot, they could be 15-2 this year. If not, you know, just imagine if they just won one of those games, like Cincinnati. Who did they lose to? Cincinnati, Cleveland, and I can't remember the other one. But I remember it being like, what the heck is up with San Francisco? They lost 3 in a row. It was weird. And then just, they were undefeated, and then they lost 3 in a row, and then they've been undefeated since. So they just might end up finishing 14-3 and win the end, going all the way, which I wouldn't doubt for a second is extremely possible. And go 49ers if that's the case. So now we're down to the division games, and one of them includes the team we're going to play next week. Bears and Browns. Vince Germano's club just keeps winning football games. What do you think of Stefanski now, huh? Well, he scored 20 points against the Bears, so maybe it's not that exciting. But, well, Joe Flacco, he went from an elite performance last week and was on the practice squad. So, like, a team like Minnesota could sign Joe Flacco. Well, he was kind of Nolan's-like, except for the fact he had 374 yards against Chicago. 374 yards completions. Passing, sorry. But had 3 interceptions to go with his 2 TDs. Justin Fields, below average. Yep, flat out below average. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Cleveland's defense is legit. And they are 7-1 at home. Running game was awful. The Bears just stifled that big time. And really, on the other side of the ball, well, if Rashawn Johnson got more opportunities, maybe. Looks like you could run on Cleveland a little bit. DJ Moore, 4 catches, 52 yards. He's had some huge moments this year, but Amari Cooper with 109 yards and only 4 catches. David Njoku, 10 catches, 104 yards, each of them getting a touchdown at the end of the day. No crazy multi-sack performance by anybody, at least on the Cleveland side, but on the Bears side, the former Washington Commander, Montez Sweat, looking awesome. The Walter Payton Award again for them. 2.5 sacks with 7 total tackles as well. Insanely professional performance. He's actually really good, isn't he? Probably helped mess up Joe Flacco a bit. But The Bears end up losing. They're 5-9, so they're hanging on to last place, regardless of what position they want in the draft. But, you know, they've had some impressive games this year, and they almost beat Cleveland today. Again, Cleveland playing a ancient quarterback who was on that Baltimore team in 2012 that won the Super Bowl over the Niners in the Harbaugh Bowl with John Harbaugh as the lead guy for Baltimore. Anyhow, most of you have already known that for forever. What's the other one? Green Bay, that's right. Green Bay Packers pretty much butt-kicked by Tampa Bay. They were just about doubled up. I'm getting the white screen here, which is not helping anybody. Oh, Lord. Nothing like a white screen. Yep, and now we're back to where we were before, and I apologize. But Green Bay did lose 34-20. Good, the white screen finally became something here. Buccaneers win comfortably over the Green Bay Packers. Good for them, at least in terms of the final score. Most of the damage happened in the second and third quarters. Tampa Bay scoring 24 points in the second and third quarters, but also added to the 3-7 in the first and fourth. But yep, pretty much led the whole way there. Awesome game by Baker Mayfield. No interceptions. Another great performance by him. Jordan Love, very respectable, though. No turnover, or at least no interception. 111 quarterback rating, 2 touchdowns. But it was Tampa's day, basically, in a lot of ways. And the Buccaneers are 7-7, hanging on into playoff contention. So good for them. 2 sacks for Kenny Clark of Green Bay. But the Packers dropped to 6-8. So, I don't know. They're below the Vikings, at least. So it's a definitive. Everybody's separated by something in the NFC North now. Because this is the NFC North roundup, you can say. With the Bears losing, they are in last place. Green Bay is in third place all by themselves. Minnesota's in second all by ourselves. 7-7 in Detroit. Pretty close to wrapping up the division. In fact, they could probably do it just about next week if I'm doing the math correctly. 10-4 with a butt-kicking win. And that's what we're going to talk about next. But Green Bay, again, their playoff hopes are probably about done, losing their 8th game. Like, 8 losses is not a guaranteed missing the playoffs, but I don't know. There's a pretty good chance that we're going to beat them, or somebody else is going to beat them. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But Tampa Bay is still hanging on for dear life for some kind of wild card. And who do you think they have a tiebreaker over if both teams have the same record? Oh, that's right. That's us. Yeah, that's what losing that first game of the season does for you. Just bullcrap. Yep, it can come back to haunt you easily. Especially if it's in your conference. But any game can come back to haunt you in the NFL. Green Bay, this one's going to hurt them big time. This is just about the end of the season for the Green Bay Packers today. And this was in Lambeau Field. So the silence you heard was Lambeau Field. It seems like yesterday a Detroit-Denver matchup was like, ugh, Detroit and Denver, who wants to watch that garbage? Well, Denver definitely got themselves back into respectability. And the Vikings had them beat. We had them beat. All we had to do was pretty much put our boot down on their throat by not fumbling the ball and then score like moments later, imagining if Alexander Mattison did not fumble the ball when we were pretty deep in Denver territory. But that fumble stabbed the Vikings team right in the back. And, Denver since then had become a pretty respectable team after being absolute garbage to start out the year, just like the Vikings. Absolute garbage to start out the season. They dropped a 7-7. Detroit wins comfortably 42-17 over Denver. Comfortably. 10-4, first place in the division, 5-2 at home. This one will be in U.S. Bank Stadium. It will be a nooner on Christmas Eve. That's right, Christmas Eve football again. Hopefully the Vikings don't give up 6 touchdowns to Detroit running back, or Jared Goff doesn't throw 6 touchdowns or something like that, because we all know how Christmases can be around here when it comes to the Vikings. It can be pretty awful. And look at the Detroit rushing in today's game. 185 yards rushing with just 2 guys. Jahmyr Gibbs with 11 carries and 100 yards. That is sick. Got in the end zone. Of course, David Montgomery, the former Bear, 17 carries, 85 yards, 5 yards a carry. Again, Tech Mobile football. Just hand it off and then hand it off and then hand it off. you got 8 men in a box or whatever. Okay, that one didn't work out. You pass once in a while. Jared Goff, 5 touchdowns. Yep, no interceptions. Like an MVP type of a game. A Peyton Manning type performance by Jared Goff. Looking like a number 1 overall pick in the draft. That's right. At least in today's game. Russell Wilson, mediocre at best. Kind of like a kind of like a Teddy Bridgewater coming back after the, you know, a mediocre game with the Jets or something. That's pretty much what this was like. Or just like any other aging quarterback who, you know, aging or injured or whatever, quarterback coming back and looking average or old. Could be anybody. Could be anybody. So, that's pretty much what happened with Russell Wilson. Jared Goff, though, an elite performance. And that's who we're going up against next week. We're finally going to play the Lions, but it might be too late now. And I got to think, yeah, I mean, the game against the Lions at Christmas Eve could be a division championship celebration if the Lions are successful. And there's a pretty good chance they will be. They certainly have the talent. They have the record, and the Vikings losing to the Cincinnati Bengals, giving up a 17-3 lead in embarrassing fashion against a quarterback who was very vengeful against the Vikings. And understandably, sounds like things weren't handled real well. Like, okay, oh, just wait in the hotel. We'll get back to you. And then they just, yeah, it was like they never even got back to him. And the agent said, the agent was like, they said you're gone or something. It was like stupid. It was really poorly handled. And of course, Jake Browning didn't handle that real well. And I don't blame him. I'd be mad too, honestly. But still kind of embarrassing on the Vikings side. How do you blow a 17-3 lead to Jake Browning? I don't care if we've only won once in Cincinnati in a 50-year span. Still, come on. It's bullcrap. Detroit Lions, though, first place in the North. Blobbity freaking blah. And they continue to play, you know, up and down football. But when they're at their best, they're outstanding. Jared Goff, well, it does have all the stuff updated, which is nice. 37-27 in yards. That's pretty good. 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. It's like not great, spectacular numbers, particularly with the interceptions. But back in the day, you look at that and it's like, yeah, that's a Pro Bowl level quarterback. And, well, he's a heck of a lot better than he was at the Rams the last few years he was there. Amon-Ra St. Brown rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it? With 1,175 yards. It really does, doesn't it? 7 touchdowns for him. Sam Laporta, the tight end that replaced T.J. Hockenson, is not too far behind T.J. Hockenson, who did catch up in a big way. But 9 touchdowns for Sam Laporta. 758 yards there. 855 yards for Montgomery. David Montgomery with 10 touchdowns rushing. But the Jahmyr Gibbs, they absolutely have a running duo there in Detroit. It's not just kind of like one main guy and then the other guy. Oh, he's okay sometimes. Their running game is freaking awesome, to be quite honest. They almost have 2,000 yards rushing. In fact, they only need 27 yards next week to reach 2,000 yards on the season on the ground. Pretty good. Dave Montgomery, 855, 10 touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs, 792, 7 touchdowns. That's good. That's really good. And of course, again, Jared Goff is playing at a Pro Bowl level. He might wind up with 4,500 yards this year, especially if the Vikings defense plays the way it did in the second half of the Cincinnati game. That was pretty embarrassing. It's freaking awful. Bridgewater, it looks like he's kneeled down a couple times, and that's it. Otherwise, Jared Goff has been the guy, and good for him. But definitely a dangerous running game. But also, again, 37-27 from your quarterback to go along with that. That's pretty good. So it's definitely something to worry about. Any betting man, even though it's on the road in Minnesota, would probably go with Detroit in this game. And the Vikings aren't playing like winners, really. You beat the Raiders 3-0. Like, you basically lose 99.9% of the time when you only muster 3 points. You know that, right? The Denver game was bullcrap. The Bears game was bullcrap. Yesterday was bullcrap. Yesterday, that's a Cincinnati game, of course. Saturday's game was bullcrap, depending on when you're listening to this. So, do you really think the Vikings are going to beat the Lions? I don't know. I mean, the Vikings will probably show up for the game, I'm sure. It'll be an exciting game. But I just think Detroit's better. The Vikings' run stopping has been below average off and on throughout the course of this year. And this running game scares me big time. But again, they also have really good receivers. Again, the tight end's one of the better guys out there. I got to think he's Pro Bowl level. I mean, Hockenson obviously is Pro Bowl level for the Vikings. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he might wind up with 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns by the end of the year. It's pretty good. So it's a good offense. Their defense is decent as well, of course. It's nothing spectacular. their pass rush doesn't scare you as much as other teams, but they can certainly still get it done. 6.5 sacks for Aiden Hutchinson, 5 for Aleem McNeil. So, I mean, there's something there. 3 for, Alex. Okay, so that's one thing. They really, the sacks, the pass rush isn't as scary, but seems like the way our offensive line's been banged up and disappointing the last few weeks. So, I don't know. I mean, we might have to really worry about that as well. Nick Mullins was a mess. A lot of people are now clamoring for Jaren Hall, and I don't blame you at all. I think Jaren Hall does see action at some point this year, especially if the Vikings lose to Detroit or are getting blown out by Detroit. You're going to see Jaren Hall, and you'll probably see him again the next week, because at that point, it's like, why the hell not? If you're like 7-8, Detroit's already clinched the division, it'd be nice to make the playoffs, but it looks like, even if we do, it'll probably be like really disappointing, an uninspiring game. Or maybe we get cute and win one game and get crushed the next week. Right now, I think Detroit beats the Vikings. Just in all honesty and in all fairness, I think Detroit wins the football game. Final score, obviously their defense or their offense is outstanding. Their defense is okay. Kind of bend but don't break. But it's a better version of bend but don't break compared to the previous coach. And this time you have an offense that's outstanding in so many ways. Dan Campbell's done a great job. They're a little crazy and inconsistent, but when they're at their best, they're really dangerous. Like, the roar has been restored. Yeah. The roar has been restored. At least, it's a different team than what Jim Caldwell had in 2014 when he had that spectacular defensive line to go along with a good offense, well-coached offense and such with Jim Caldwell in 2014. But that was a good football team, honestly. But this will be Detroit's first division championship since 93, right? Detroit didn't win the division the other years. It was always Green Bay. Detroit would have this really nice wild card team, but then they'd get beat by the Cowboys or whoever, and it was frustrating and it sucked and all that. So that was always annoying. Or Green Bay, they'd get beat by somebody like that. So that was never fun. With that said, again, Detroit's going to win the game. I'm going to go along with 27-24. I think the Vikings are close to hang in there. It's a well-played game for the most part, but you're going to get stupid turnovers again, and the defense just isn't going to finish the job. They're going to give up 27 points and end up losing the game to the Detroit Lions at the end of the day. That's my prediction. With that said, we'll take a quick break, and we're going to hear from Gerald Spring out of South Dakota now. He will make his return to Purple Mafia.
Joey, quick call in for Purple Mafia. Just letting you guys know I still follow everybody. I listen to the shows. I do go back and look at Facebook, but I usually don't watch the games on Sunday, so don't really have a chance to follow along on Facebook. But appreciate the shows. I guess probably the only thing I got to say is, without looking back, we started either 0-3 or 1-4, something like that. And if you'd have told me at that point that we're going to go through 4 quarterbacks. So we've been through Jaren Hall, Joshua Dobbs, and now up to Nick Mullins. And that we're going to end up 7-6 and still in the hunt for the playoffs. I'd have thought you were crazy. So, hats off to the team. They've made it interesting the last couple of years. I kind of had wrote this season off, and hasn't been a dynamic offensive show here the last couple of weeks, but we're still in the playoffs, and although I think, what do we finish up with the Bengals, a couple games with the Lions, and I think the Packers in there somewhere. I think that's going to be really tough for this team, for this offense, for sure. But, it would have been, I'm still in the camp that I still think we're going to have to sign Kirk Cousins to some kind of a short term. He's still a top 10, 12 quarterback. You can see that now that we don't have him. And I just don't think we got that Pat Mahomes on our roster yet. You know, we don't know what we got in Jaren Hall for sure, but still in the camp, we're going to have to find that rough in the, or that diamond in the rough, find some kind of quarterback in the draft, coming under Kirk Cousins. It'd have been interesting. You know, it would have been really interesting if you could have got last year's offense and this year's defense. I mean, man, this year's defense, just a different coach, but, you know, for the most part, a lot of the same players. Ivan Pace Jr. is a couple of undrafted free agent in there. You know, we didn't expect that, but, man, the defense is, I think when I look back, and they're a top 12, 14 defense now, and they were like 28th last year, so I seen that somewhere, but that would have been cool. But I think for this team now, it's going to be kind of rough sledding here, but who knows? It'd be cool just to make the playoffs. I don't think that we could go very far, but who knows? Anything can happen. But anyway, wishing everybody out there in Purple Mafia country Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, Joey, and thanks for all the shows and hard work, and we'll talk to y'all later.
And a thank you for that call in, Gerald Sring. Here we are on segment number 3, Fan Interaction segment. And Gerald, yep, always great to hear from Gerald out of South Dakota. Of course, Gerald Sring. Yep, that was, of course, after the the Bears game leading into Cincinnati. And, yep, I mean, I can understand the thought process of, yeah, I mean, you go through 4 quarterbacks and, you know, the injury to Kirk Cousins and all the other nonsense that took place after the 1-4 start, even to say we're 7-6 and still in the playoff hunt. Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It just still sucks to lose the way this team has lost some games. It's crazy to think what the Vikings record could be with just a bounce of the ball here, even bounce of the ball here, bounce of the ball there, you know, better execution, hang on to the dang ball, this and that. Vikings could be, you know, could have 8 wins right away, just winning yesterday. 9 wins beating the Bears or the Broncos. 10 wins beating the Bears and the Broncos. Just, it's crazy to think about that. We could be tied with Detroit right now just with those games alone. It's absolutely nuts. Now, I mean, who knows? Maybe we could have choked and lost to the Saints instead. Maybe we're 9-5. But 9-5, you're really in the playoff hunt. And maybe you could even catch Detroit with a win. So it's just it's a shame. It's a weird season. But again, I understand the recovery is nice and the fact the team hung on during the course of time. So we'll see what happens. The desire to re-sign Kirk Cousins maybe to a short-term deal where hopefully it's not too much money. Maybe like a 1-year deal where it's not too much money, obviously. But unfortunately, so far, Kirk Cousins has very much been about the, if it's a short-term deal, obviously like a big payout. So he shouldn't be in any major position to demand a huge amount of money at this stage, coming off an Achilles tendon at age 36. So that's definitely a negotiation advantage for the Minnesota Vikings in that one. But nope, great call in, and thank you so very much for that, Gerald Sring, out of South Dakota. I keep wanting to say Nebraska, but it is South Dakota. The Twitter account, the X, formerly known as Twitter, X Twitter, X this, X that, X, okay, I gotta settle down, stop being silly. Yep, we're gonna be here from Mad Martin quite a bit, which is a good thing, but I want to get to the right spot where we actually left off, if humanly possible. There it is. Vince Germano out of Australia, Tanae Brown out of New Zealand, and Malcolm McSween out of California, all retweeting the most recent episode, 416, Keep Flores at All Cost. Yeah, this week you didn't really feel that quite as much, but again, totally understand. I understand the frustration, but I also understand the other side of, no, it's just one game. So, well, he's had some good ones, he's had some bad ones, no doubt about it. He's definitely not been perfect. Philadelphia, sure. Made Flores' defense look pretty bad. Wish him well coaching. Yep, yeah, because Teddy Bridgewater is going to look into coaching. So I believe it's he's going to look into coaching now. I believe he's going to coach high school, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, that's Matt Martin saying wish him well in that one. So I'm wanting to click on that very quickly here. Yep, he's enjoying his final season. A couple of quotes. Whatever was meant for me, it played out the exact way it was meant, he told the Detroit Free Press. And I'm still with that mindset every day, and I'm just really appreciative that I'm in year number 10. I tell everyone this is my last year, so I'm in my final year, and I'm just enjoying it all, man. Yep, he had that ACL type of deal. I'm trying to look for actual coaching. Considered retiring after 22, but considered conversations with Dan Campbell and other existing relationships among the team convinced him to play one more year in Detroit. Interesting. So, want to see where the coaching is, though. I wish I could see it now. It was there, and I remember reading it, but obviously, my deep apologies here for this. I know it was in here. That's weird. Yeah, Little used backup. Yeah, that's for darn sure. He did appear, yeah, but kneel down victory over Carolina because that had to be a blowout for sure. Yep, he's just very appreciative to have been there all the time. Yeah, derailed with the injuries, two seasons with the Saints. Yep, even was at the Broncos, I remember, in 21. Carolina in 2020. In Miami, yeah, last year wasn't too not last year, but 21. Yep. When I got hurt, I realized that I'm only a football player for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. Outside of that, I'm Theodore Bridgewater. So it just put everything into perspective and it really helped me not even have to think about being a starter anymore. It's like, man, I still got a purpose, and my purpose is bigger than the game of football. Football is just a platform that I have. Okay, here it is. It is high school football. That's what it was. After retiring, Bridgewater plans to coach high school football and focus on being a father of his two sons. There you go. Okay, and Detroit's likely to make the first playoff berth since 2016. And Bridgewater will cherish his final NFL moments. Maybe he'll get a ring. You never know, as weird as that might sound. So yes, there's Bridgewater in Detroit and everything. Sorry about the delay there, Mad Martin. Mad Martin out of Northern Scotland. Dave Martin, of course. Dave Martin continues saying, hopefully we hold on. That would be, I believe, Flores. Yep, that's after the... I said keep Flores at all costs. Hopefully we hold on to him. Saturday night game here, and I'm working. I'm working away, so it'll be a Sunday night game for me. Yep. Rolling his eyes and having to rewatch it. Yep. Understandable. Dave Hickey out of Iowa says, game day, baby. We better get a win, but of course I have a nervous feeling about it. Playing a backup anyway, and a game the Vikings have to have, and everyone knows is the type of game they lose, and yeah, it sure was, wasn't it? And Dave Hickey also answers my little bat signal question last week. Cool. Here it comes. Dave says, great show last week, and a defensive battle to say the least. We had one of our family Christmases, so I was unable to post anything. Yep, I understand. If I remember right, you were trying to think of a Penn State player we used to have, yep, that we got late in the draft, whatever, and yeah, because of the ACLs. Yeah, he was getting hurt. He had ACLs in college, but he was really, really highly touted. Yep, Michael Motti, you got it. That's right. Ding, 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 ding. You did get the right answer. That's who it was. I was saying thank you very much. That is the guy, Michael Motti. And I believe he went to the Colts, so he looked just like Penn State, if I remember correctly. So it's kind of funny. I was saying Daniel Hunter with his 99 sack makes him sixth all-time in the Vikings history. He actually did get his 100th right after that as well. Rick Schmidt with the like and retweet. Thank you for that. Dave Hickey, a couple more here. You know this is going to be a nail-biter third. Nail-biter third and 21. No problem. First down. Soon to be a tie game. Yeah, that was the Cincinnati. Yep, getting that long first down. Getting first down and long and third and long anyway. Like I said, tie game. What a freaking joke. They should be winning easily, but no. I've got a strange feeling we're about to turn it over again and get beat. Yep. Yep. Basically bad defense after that, crazily enough. And yeah, technically it is a turnover when you have a loss, when you turn the ball over on downs, that is a turnover. So yeah, that does count as a turnover. That stupid fourth and 2 inches, 1 inch, whatever. The tush-push garbage. Mad Martin says, managed to catch a large portion of the game, which I had not bothered. Let's be honest here. If your offense can't get 6 inches, you don't deserve to win. Yep. What was I responding to something? I was saying that drove me absolutely insane. The push was pushed back. It's supposed to be tush-push was pushed back twice. and the clutch defensive play that never came. Matt Martin says, I'm not sure there's a quick answer to the quarterback question. That's the big unknown. Okay, there should be more than one there, because I know he shows that. Where'd it go? Maybe that is, yeah, it does continue. Where'd it go? Well, it says he's actually furious with the result. Turnovers and not moving the ball 6 and just cost us the game. Yeah, I think it continues later. I'll go check, catch up with it. Is there any point making a push for the playoffs? Personally, I know hope for 3 straight, 1-score losses. It's time to focus on landing the quarterback of the future. Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, you know, it's not going to end well. It's just not going to end well. Like this, there is no Nick Foles in the Vikings roster, unless for some reason Jaron Hall ends up being that guy, but I don't know. Just another season of frustration. We should be used to it after all these years. As per normal, it's the quarterback position to hold us back and the bleeping turnovers. Okay, and here's the two-part deal. I'm not sure there's a quick answer to the quarterback question. That's the big unknown. But I'm hopeful. The way the team has stepped up after Cousins went down, massive improvement on defense. If we can hold on to Flores, get Hunter and JJ signed along with Addison and TJ, we finally have a good offensive line. 2004 could be good. It could be, yeah, especially if like a quarterback of the future. Oh, yeah. And then Malcolm liked a tweet that I threw out there. It's amazing how NFL Network told us that Brian Flores had the longest streak of time, over 160 minutes, in the NFL this season of not giving up a touchdown on the exact next play a touchdown pass was thrown. So it's like the ultimate jinx. Oh, you know, he hasn't given up a touchdown pass in 168 minutes or something like that. And it was the next play. It was just Hutt, okay, touchdown Cincinnati. Touchdown. It's like, thanks, guys. Thanks. But, of course, he just knew it, though. That's just how it works. So, with that said, let's get to the Instagram account, Purple Mafia Show. That's all it is, Purple Mafia Show. So just simply type that in and you will find it. And it'd be nice if you could give it a follow. It's always on the wrong page. I'm on my regular Joey Awajan one. And now it's non-responsive. Here we go, Purple Mafia Show. So I always check on the previous week. There it is. Mark from Iowa. Mark Carlson says, wow, and it's not even Monday yet. Looking forward to the show, and I am interested in hearing the opinions of the host and others. Yep, and thank you so very much there. That was last week, of course. Yeah, because we had a couple of late games, and we finally had like a normal one. He's like, yep, about time, right? Normal time. Yep, and we're going to get a big one from Mike Dale today, which is awesome. I'll see if I can get this chronologically correct here somehow. Yeah, Mike Dale opens things up coming out of New York. Not confident about this one, to be honest, and I wasn't either. He said, stupid, that's probably the game. Yeah, that was after that stupid failure on fourth down. Mark Carlson says, oh yeah, it's halftime now, 7-3. The defense is incredible, and I'm not so sure about Mullins. That pretty much summed up the first half, and then the second half, things kind of opened up on both sides, and our defense was not good at all. And Mark Carlson says, I am insane with anger. Yep, after the way the Vikings blew that. And I said, me too. That was so sickening. And that's all the in-game thread. And now we'll get to the post-game thread. I believe it's just one comment. I want to make 100% sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, yep. So that's everything in the in-game. So yes, please do join. You know, like the more the merrier. But yeah, Mark and Mike there, absolutely spectacular. Thank you. Can't thank you enough there. And here it is. Here's the big one. Yep, these are always fun to read, and I just love it. Mike Dale, well, nothing to say other than that was pathetic. To give up that 2-touchdown lead. Putrid fourth quarter play on both sides of the ball, if I'm going to be frank. And yeah, it really was putrid on both sides of the ball. Continuing, great games by Chandler and Addison, but I fear Nick Mullins is way too reckless to expect him to successfully help carry this team into a potential playoff berth. He's a little less reckless than Dobbs and seems to be a bit more of an accurate passer, but that's not saying much. Yep. the last touchdown that he threw to Addison, who looked to be triple covered in the end zone, probably gets intercepted 75% of the time. Yeah, there was a lot of reckless passing, wasn't there? It's like Favre on crack, basically. They came from the same school. The defense, especially the secondary, had a bit of a rough day, to say the least. Absolutely asleep on some big plays and allowed T. Higgins to basically Randy Moss them all day. Yes, that was pass interference. That wasn't called on Evans in overtime. Okay, there we go. Now things are moving properly. In the unlikely event that this team makes the playoffs, they certainly will be bounced in the first round. Hopefully the Broncos can do us a solid tonight by beating the Lions. And they didn't. That said, the way the Vikings are playing currently, they're going to need to play better to beat the Lions themselves next week. It all comes down to the head-to-head, prove what team is better. It's ish or get off the pot time. My gut feeling, though, is telling me that our Vikings will be found wanting when they match up against the Lions in the next few upcoming weeks. Here's hoping I'm wrong. I feel the same, and here's hoping I'm wrong also. I feel the same. Honestly, I'm not overly confident. In fact, I'm not confident one bit, to be quite frank. The Stars. Well, man, Gerald, great call-in. Mad Martin, Mike Dale, awesome comments. Mark Carlson, awesome comments. Absolutely love it. You know, it's like, as we head into Christmas, it's like, I just want to give all four of you a gold star. I'm kind of leaning that way. You know, you've been carrying this show all year, and we're leading into Christmas. Like, next week is Christmas, so Christmas Eve next show. But gold stars for all of you. I just want to do that. I think that's how important you guys are to the show. Like a Mount Rushmore type of thing. You know, Malcolm McSween. I miss the comments. I really miss the call-ins, Malcolm. You know, obviously I love call-ins from Gerald, from Mad Martin. Malcolm, it's been many years, many, many years. They were great calls, though. Mark Carlson, you know, yep, he's, I think he called earlier this year once, right? I think so. Or was it last year? Great call-in. But yeah, you guys all do a great job. Dave Hickey, yeah, he finally called in again. It'd been a long time. And it was a great call. So, you guys are pillars of this show, let me tell you. Absolute pillars. You know, Tanae, who got the Gold Star of the Year a few years back and inducted into the Purple Mafia Hall of Fame. Yeah, absolutely deserves it. Yep, Tanae coming in out of New Zealand. Yep, absolutely deserves it. There goes Lamar Jackson. Yeah, Jacksonville, man. Looked like Kevin O'Connor. Looked like the Kirk Cousins bullcrap weeks ago. Where they ran out of time because they're just like, oh, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. What do we do now? Oh shoot, we're out of time. That was stupid. There was like a check down with no timeouts left, and the guy was tackled in bounds. It's just really poor execution by Jacksonville. So yep, that kind of reminded me of the. That was right before the end of the half. That reminded me of the Vikings game earlier this year where we blew that home game. I'm kind of trying to blank it out of my memory, but, you know, where Kirk Cousins is holding his ears. Oh, God, I got to hear what O'Connell's saying. It's really bad and embarrassing. Embarrassing. With that said, well, Christmas season is upon us. Christmas week is upon us. Looking at the tree, driving around Christmas lights as well. Love seeing those little twinkling lights right now that I'm seeing right in front of me. I don't know. I hope all of you are having a happy Christmas season. Obviously, my biggest dislike of Christmas season is everywhere you go, the grocery store, the Target, anywhere. Just, you know, like if I'm door dashing a little bit, you know, there's like a million cars in the parking lot everywhere. Oh, God, I hate that. That's the one thing I don't like about Christmas is the crowds. Crowds do me nothing. They're just a pain in the freaking butt. But that's about it. Otherwise, I love Christmas. I just hate the crowds. If we could have Christmas and love the crowds, that'd be the best of both worlds. It really would be. All that anxiety and obnoxious behavior, people walking in front of you and walking slower than normal in the grocery store. It's just like everybody's kind of on slow-mo. It was real weird, like weird vibe today at the grocery store earlier in the day. It was weird. But other than that, though, again, I hope all of you are having a nice Christmas season. And yes, like I said, yep, Merry Christmas to Gerald String with the call-in and all that. That was absolutely great. We'll be back next week for Christmas Eve football. How will the Vikings do? I'm not sure. I'm not overly confident. We'll see when I'm able to record and finish that show. I probably will be able to. So it sounds like the plans are like later the next day. So it won't be so much. I might have a Christmas Eve publishing of Purple Mafia. So I suppose it's happened before, but usually not. With that said, we will... We're just going to have to wait and see what happens and see if this team can stay alive. Otherwise, go draft.